You're listening to the Screeners Podcast Network.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Geek Card Check. My name is Chris.
And I'm Tyler.
And I'm back. I mean, Kate.
Finally.
Oh, that's so good. Every week, we're going to try and pull on the threads of pop culture and see if they pass the Geek Card Check. I am positive, completely positive, that what we're going to talk about tonight is categorized as necessary watching for any geek.
We could get that out of the way, I think, right off the bat. Like, it's
Geek Card Check worthy. I'm going to make that judgment. I just going to think that
this
you have to
the
watch
day,
these movies.
Your judgment day.
This is it. Because we're talking about The Terminator, ladies and gentlemen. That's the second one Kate's gotten in under the radar. No, so tonight we're going to be talking about Terminator 1 and Terminator 2. Why? You ask us why we're going to be discussing these films?
Why not?
Well, why not? Number one, that's true. They are great films, but the sequel to Terminator 2 is coming out. You'll say to yourself, "No, wait a minute, hasn't there already been a sequel to Terminator 2? Yes. There's been Terminator 3.
No,
there has been.
Those were awful fan fiction films of high quality. That's what they were.
No. Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm already triggered. Let's go. Let's go.
So there's been Terminator 3. There's been Terminator Salvation. There has been Terminator Genesis. But all of those have been thrown out, baby and bathwater, all together. And we are getting a completely retconned sequel coming out this week on Thursday. And so we're going to talk about the fact that, number one, you know, we think these are geek card worthy, but also we want to make sure you're prepared and ready to watch the sequel. So we're excited to do that. Also, it just so happens that we didn't plan this, that Terminator, it's its 35th anniversary this week, or this month at least.
That's excellent.
And so 35 years ago, the original Terminator came out, which is kind of hard to believe. So there's a lot of Terminator love happening right now, ladies and gentlemen. That's my point, and I can't wait to talk about them. Our Sherpa guide through the world of James Cameron's Terminators, Terminator 1 and 2, Tyler is going to walk us through why we think these films are, number one, geek card worthy, and number two, why we should be excited, hopefully excited, about Dark Fate. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe or maybe not. Tyler, what are we doing tonight?
Well, let's talk about especially 1 and 2, cuz like you said,
yes,
they've decided to kind of like Halloween, you know, they've decided to remove most of the intervening sequels and say, okay, Dark Fate is the official sequel to Terminator 2 Judgment Day. I'm going to say that frankly doesn't matter, and that's a needless thing for them to say, because so many times in these movies they say, "I come from a possible future," or, you know, "We've changed the future," and so they're going to try and change the past again. I'd say there is no point in retconning a series that is unret. Ooh, my Siri just popped on when I said series.
Skynet's listening.
Yes.
Because the series, I say, is unretconnable. I think there's no point in it. But
so you're saying it's a multiverse?
Yes, I think it's a multiverse. It's a series of timelines that all branch off from one another, and
a wibbly wobbly timey wimey thing,
might say,
right?
That.
I mean, we do have a doctor who showed up in the last film. All right.
So
let's talk about these movies, though.
Yeah,
right? I mean,
so we're gonna focus though on 1 and 2. We might, you know, I say to you guys, feel free to mention, you know, any your thoughts on the other ones as they come up. But we're gonna focus on Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 Judgment Day. So, Chris, first of all, tell us, what's your experience with the first Terminator, 1984 mm-hmm. Terminator, and just, you know, some brief thoughts overall on it.
Right. So, you know, Terminator 2 was my first introduction to the Terminator series. And so it was years after that I actually went back and watched the first Terminator film. And, I mean, honestly, I think Terminator 1 is pretty spectacular.
It's a good movie.
Going back, yeah, it really is. Going back and rewatching it this time, especially after, you know, several years, many years, and realizing how much they developed the tension. There's a good span of maybe I don't know, 10, 15 minutes at the very beginning, where there's very little dialogue. It's all visual storytelling, which is fascinating to me. It's meant to be an action / slasher film, I guess. You know,
it is. It's structured like a slasher film.
Yeah, it definitely is that. And so, for me, the first time watching and then rewatching it, it's amazing how much they were able to build the foundation of what would become, I think, a much better movie, which is Terminator 2. There are a lot of
perfect movie.
Terminator 2 is a perfect film. I do agree with you as far as action film. It's one of the. I mean, Aliens and Terminator 2, Jurassic yes. Park for me are in my top five films of all time. Those films are in the pantheon for me. But I think Terminator did a fantastic job of incredibly having all those pieces. There's not having the budget or the ability right. to do them the way that Terminator 2 was able to do them. But I mean, it's so great because Terminator 2 is a great sequel because it calls back to Terminator in so many different ways. You know, we've got, of course, the I'll be back
yep.
and we've got, but there are so many different looks, gestures, you know, come with me if you want to live, twists. You'd seen the first one and they pay off really well in the sequel. Mm-hmm. It's almost a remake, but not quite. And so it's just a very good foundation for a series to start with. And I think it actually holds up pretty well this many years later. I watched it in whatever it was. I don't know if it's 4K, but it's definitely 4K up-resed. And it's incredible how well it looks. I love the Stan Winston creature effects, the stop motion stuff. All that is really, really cool. So I don't know, man. I think Terminator is a fantastic film. It lays the groundwork and created a kind of the lead-in to one of the best movies of all time.
I agree. Kate, what do you think?
Well, Terminator comes a couple years after Blade Runner, and so it's like part of that 80s sci-fi saying important things. You know, and Blade Runner asks questions like, what does it mean to be human? And here in Terminator, you know, it's sort of in conversation with the Greeks, because the Greeks, you know, you ask them, can you escape your fate? And nope, you can't. And Terminator's like, actually, maybe you can. It's more of a hopeful take despite the dark dystopia that we are presented with. I like you guys, saw the second one first and then the first one sometime after that. So preparing for this episode of the pod is the first time I'd ever seen them back to back in the correct order, and I noticed so many more things because of that pairing.
Totally. Yes.
Yeah. And so with that, I did, as I was watching it, realized, well, the guys are going to get a laugh on me because this is technically a horror film.
It 100. It is. I thought that the whole time. Yes.
It's a stealth horror film. Yep. I mean, yeah. it is a slasher flick. There's no doubt.
In fact, Cameron himself said that he modeled the Terminator on Michael Myers from the first one.
Yeah. It's kind of like Alien in that respect, where Alien transcends its genre.
Yes.
And, of course, we have, you know, James Cameron connections. I thought about Alien and Aliens, actually, multiple times as I watched these.
Absolutely. Yes.
They even feel like they could be in the same
universe.
Sort of parallel universes or something like that, just in some aesthetic.
Yes. Which leads me to a side note of a dear, dear wish to have Sigourney Weaver and Linda Hamilton and Robin Wright make a movie together now in today's world. Yeah. That would be the best thing ever. So.
Fully agree. I fully, fully agree. After seeing did you say Jamie Lee Curtis?
Sigourney Weaver and Robin Wright.
See, Jamie Lee Curtis should be in that
Agreed.
As well.
Agreed.
Okay.
Because
I would defer to you on that.
Well, just because, I mean, she was, you know, obviously not quite in maybe the sci-fi, but still fantasy horror.
Yeah.
She was definitely genre. And so it would be great to see Jamie Lee Curtis included in that list and them do something really, really cool. And they could, and it would be incredible.
Amazing.
Everyone awesome. Eat it up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't love the first Terminator movie as much as you guys do, which is not to say I dislike it. It's a very simple, straightforward story, and its simplicity is what works for it. I don't, the effects I had a little bit of a harder time with, though granted, I recognize when it comes from, but I sort of see that movie as the prequel movie because I saw the second one first. It just
exactly.
It feels just like a prequel. And so we know already about Sarah Connor and all the rest of that. And so it's like, well, how did she get there? This movie.
Isn't it funny? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but isn't it funny how you almost dock it? But because of that, you're almost like, well, why does he say I'll be back there? That is so cheesy. And then you realize, oh, that's the first time it was said.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You know what I mean? Like, but it is, it seems done much better in T2, but it was a callback.
And,
that,
and
that's
done
what
with
makes that movie
no,
so crazy.
No emotional weight in T1. He's not winking at the camera to say it, you know, it's so great.
Yeah. So the first movie also to me, like you're introduced to this world and I can totally see why they made a second movie, and because of the simplicity of the first one, the second one has a lot to build on with it, which we'll talk about when we get there. But I can see why introduced to that, sure, it's got the horror, it's got the action, etc., but it has a world that you want to explore more of.
Yes.
And it sets it up beautifully, and so it's one that if anyone hasn't seen these films, or if it's been so long and you don't really remember, watch them together. It will pay off.
It really
fully
is,
agree with that. Fully
it really
agree
is
with
a
that.
Saga of the two of them. Really,
yeah.
they go together so well.
They're in
well.
Conversation with each other in some really rich ways. Yeah. So, what about you, Tyler?
Yeah, I think I really would echo pretty much what you guys said. I love the spareness of the first one. Like we said, it's a slasher. It is guy stalking victim. You know, and then with the added part of the rescuer. You know, Kyle Reese comes in. Michael Beam. Comes in to you actually don't know for a while who's the bad guy or if he's also another bad guy who's trying to take her out. And I like the tension that's built with that of that all comes to the head in the tech noir bar, you know, where there's a shooting battle and you don't know at first who's trying to kill her. And I think it's such a well done movie. It's Arnold before he became Arnold, you know, and before he was the big action star of the 90s. And I think
what's up with his eyebrows, by the way? Did they shave them off for this movie?
They
like, it was weird.
They're only off after, is it the truck burns up or something like that, right? And then his eyebrows are gone, but they are there at the beginning. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. See, I didn't notice that, and I guess maybe I just completely missed that. That's cool. That's a cool thing. I just somewhere in the movie I was like, why does he not have
eyebrows.
This is weird. Very well, okay, I get it. That's
and
cool.
There
That's
are
cool.
weird moments throughout this film. Like, you know, we see him right at the beginning. You could also tell this is sort of an indie 80s action horror movie at the beginning because there is full-on naked Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, in shadow, but not that
not
much
really.
In shadow. And, you
he,
know,
look,
walking,
he worked. This is Mr. Universe. He worked hard for that butt, man. Show it off. Come on.
He looked a little awkward in the first. It's like that bodybuilder oddness in the first movie. It was no.
Because he is full on. Like, not that he's not in Terminator 2, but he's just, full on Hercules still in the first one. And then the second one, he's a bit more like, oh, you look like a person. And
a majorly buff person, but a person.
Yes, your body is proportional. And
better clothes in the second one, but anyway.
True story. So I like that. I like what these movies do so well, and I'll get to this as a problem with Terminator Salvation later, but what these movies do so well is focus on character. Not that we get tons of information in the first one, but we get Sarah Connor, we get such a story arc between the two of them, from waitress who gets bullied by her customers in the first one to, you know, hardcore, you know, she's
legend.
Pregnant driving off into the sunset, you know, at the end of the first one and then into the second. Yeah, legend. She's this crazy, you know, as far as society is concerned, this insane lady who's kept away in a mental institution, who has stabbed her psychologist in the knee with a pen, and then breaks apart and has like this you know, ultimate action chase, you know, and revenge throughout the whole thing. It's an amazing character study that starts so well in the first one. So I actually agree with you guys. I hadn't thought about it in the same way until you said that. I think of the first one like a prequel, because I always think of Linda Hamilton's Sarah Connor as, you know, the epitome of an action hero, and she is so not in the first one.
Just like Ripley in Alien, you know, she wasn't.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, she doesn't even have that alien moment. Well, I guess she does actually.
Yeah,
and she gets
she's
to crush
crawling
him.
Away.
Yeah. That's true. She does get her moment where the she's no longer the damsel in distress. The soldier has died.
Right.
And so now she must take things into her own hands. And actually, she ends up doing it and doing it well. So that's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah.
Well, let's lead this into, and then we can kind of talk about the two of them as a whole. Sure. Let's lead that into Terminator 2. Chris, what are your thoughts on Terminator 2?
I mean, I think I've already given my overall thoughts.
Yeah.
I think I was talking before we started recording to Kate about the fact that I feel like this is one of the best paced movies of all time.
Yep.
Because
it's long, but it doesn't feel long.
Let me ask this question, and this is a thing that Kate did not have any realization that she was watching. What version of this movie did you watch, Tyler? Did you watch the theatrical or the special edition?
I believe mine is the special edition, but I'd have to go back and look.
So I watched the special edition for the very first time. I had never seen the special edition until this viewing. And it freaked me out because I was like, I've seen this movie, conservatively, I've seen this movie 25 or 30 times.
Yeah.
Never have I seen it with the special edition.
Whereas I've only seen the special edition.
That's crazy to me. Well, so they add a bunch of scenes in. Specifically, there's a minute-long scene where she's abused by the hospital workers. Then she gets a kind of like a dream sequence where she sees Kyle Reese.
Oh, that's the special edition?
Yeah.
Yeah, none of that is in
so
the theatrical version. That's crazy to me because I had never seen that. I was like, Kyle Reese is in Terminator 2? I had no idea.
That's such a good scene, too.
Okay, so this is where I disagree is that I think it's fine. Don't get me wrong.
There's one bad line in it, but I like the scene.
I think it breaks the pace of the movie, though. A lot of these scenes do. There's a sequence, let's see here, the T-1000 lies about the dog, and he goes out and kills the dog.
Wow, did not
and
know
grabs
that's a special edition.
Sees the name on the collar.
Yeah, Wolfie versus Max.
Wolfie,
yeah.
That is not in the theatrical version.
Wow.
They didn't want to kill the dog, I'm sure. And then there's a long sequence when they go to Mexico, and they take the thing out of his head.
Wait, that's,
and he like, murr.
This
that,
blows
none of that
my
is in
mine.
No.
I'm sure
there's a sequence. There's a sequence early on with Miles Dyson working at his desk, and it blew my mind. His kids came, the wife came up and was like, "We need to take the kids out." That's not in the movie. I'd never seen that before. I was like, "What is this scene?" It totally. I mean, I like the additions, but it totally ruins the pace of that movie. You need to watch the theatrical cut of T2.
I'm
and
sure
I think
that I did on VHS. Like, I remember the first time that I saw it very vividly. But I don't remember those scenes specifically, but.
I appreciate it. Even the ending. I mean, we're spoiling it, where it shows like an old Sarah Connor. Like none of that happens. I don't know if they include that at the end of the special edition.
I don't
that's
remember
just, like,
that being in
oh,
there.
That
yeah,
might be
it
just,
is because she's is there. It? She's narrating, and then John is playing with his daughter on the playground, and she comes up to Grandma, and all in
The theatrical vision. Sorry, something just fell on my desk. The theatrical version just ends with the highway, and then it.
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Yeah.
But maybe maybe I was done and just assumed it was finished, and I like fast forwarded to the end or something, but
fell into the abyss.
Interesting.
There are several other moments. There's a moment where they're like destroying the scuff in Skynet, and the T-800 is like using an axe.
Yeah.
And then Dyson's like, can I borrow that axe?
And
he
destroys the model of his computer as though it's the thing. Yeah,
I think that is the thing. I think that is the thing.
Oh. Yeah, it's in the room.
I think the point is that like it had to be that big in the 90s, but it could be that small in the, you know, in the future or whatever. So anyway, there's a bunch more though. There's a bunch more. And as I was watching the movie, I appreciated them from a you know, when you watch a movie and then you watch a special edition and you're like, oh, they added those scenes in, but they weren't really necessary. None of those sequences are necessary. And I feel like they add and kind of hurt the pace. Anyway, I'm so sorry that there's a complete deviation. What do I think about Terminator 2? I think the theatrical cut, I think, is perfectly paced. One of the very best movies of all time. It's probably my number two or number three movie of all time. Wow. I can't decide if I like The Matrix or Terminator 2 better. I think Terminator 2 is better than The Matrix.
Ooh, I like Terminator 2 better than The Matrix.
So I my Jurassic Park, Terminator 2, The Matrix. Then anyway, so I love T2. It is fantastic. I think what it's trying to say, there are two tattoos that if I ever got a I don't have tattoos. I don't like the idea of hurting myself. But if I ever did get tattoos, one would be boldly go, and the other one would be no fate. I'm not a Calvinist, so I really enjoy the idea.
I don't know, Chris, can keep going with this.
I'm not a Calvinist because I enjoy the idea that we don't have fate, right? That we have full control over who we are and what we're doing. And I think this movie is the idea. There is no fate but what we make. And I freaking love it. So anyway, that's my take on Terminator 2. I think I've talked enough.
I would add before I let ask Kate the same question that actually that tagline, the no fate but what we make, is exactly why there is no point in retconning all of these other movies out, because it doesn't matter. Anyway, Kate.
Okay, we'll talk about that. Let's see. Your discussion. Then we can argue. We can talk about that.
Got it.
Kate, where are you on this?
So the second movie, we literally know the day and the time when the world ends. Like, there's no ambiguity. The world is going to end effectively. Yeah. I mean, it's a nuclear blast at that point in time. And so that's when humanity destroys its future and, you know, all hell dystopia exists after that. And so that's an interesting, like, there are many movies that, you know, you're racing against the clock, but it's not very often just like, all right, let's plant the flag here. Now, what are we going to do about it? And that's what this movie does, which is where the no fate comes in. But what's really interesting is, as I noted before, this movie is in conversation with the first one. And so it builds on it. We have lots of mirroring. Like, there's a scene where Arnold is crawling along in the way that he was in the first movie when he was still the killer. The tankers, you know, instead of him driving it in the first movie, it's now the T-1000 driving it in the second one. We have dying fathers repeatedly as the motif, because even whenever Dyson dies, we see his children. He is a father. We have that almost final scene with Arnold where he, you know, thumb out, which made me think very Hitchhiker's Guide moment.
That's just so amazing.
But we have that scene as well. Yes, exactly, Chris. Over the video, I'm now seeing thumbs everywhere. but the really cool thing that the second one does is in the first one, Arnold is the killer. He's the, can we even survive this awful, overwhelming thing that's come to kill us? And the second one, Sarah's not human anymore.
Oh, yeah.
We see her literally behaving like an animal in the asylum, which, for understandable reasons, but she has functionally lost her humanity, and she doesn't act as a mother most of the movie. It's not really until the scene when she has gone to kill Dyson because she thinks killing him will prevent the future, and she sees him with his family, his kids, like his son is at one point trying to get between her and his dad to save his dad. Like, that's whenever we get her return of humanity. And that really digs into the bigger themes of who are the actual monsters here. Because the thing is, the Terminator, the T-1000, or Arnold in the first movie, they are the killers, but they're not actually the bad guys.
Right.
Humans are. Humans are the ones that created this situation. Arnold says at one point, it's in your nature to destroy yourselves.
Mm-hmm. And, as kids are playing with guns and pretending to cause violence to one another.
Yeah. Exactly. And the irony of that is later in the movie, he says, I can't self-terminate. And so he can't perform that act, but that's exactly what humans are doing. There's this back and forth of mirroring of who really is the monster, who is really human. And it then offers us this hopeful answer because Sarah comes back to a more human state and she finds her meaning again. We have Arnold, who learns and grows throughout this. And so we had this dual track thing that meets beautifully at the end of the story as he is sacrificing himself for these people. I do want to touch on this, but it's kind of tangential to this, about what it means for an artificial being to die based on our Ex Machina conversations. Mm. But that's something else. So I think this is the power of the second movie, where it works on its own, but when you see it with the first one, you see all those additional layers of mirroring and how they flip things to say really powerful things thematically for the audience, down to "Now I know why you cry," which in my head I was also hearing the "Tears in the Rain" famous speech from Blade Runner. And so
"Tears in Rain." Yeah,
rest in peace Rutger Hauer, by the way. Yeah,
absolutely. So these are things I was seeing in the second movie this time, and yeah, the pacing is a bit slower with the special edition, and so now I need to go back at some point and get my hands clearly on the theatrical version, or Chris may never be okay.
It's just shocking to me that's the only way you guys have seen this movie, because genuinely shocking to me as I was watching this movie. I was like,
yeah,
what is that movie? What is this movie? What is happening?
So the final point I want to make is that when you look at Arnold and his, when the chip is flipped from read to write and he begins learning and growing, it made me realize that when you have artificial beings and humans, sentience is not enough. You can't just mimic being human. You have to evolve and become more. And that was, I think, a very powerful, cool thing that the second movie does.
That's crazy that that is not even in the original cut. Like that moment, that doesn't even exist.
It isn't? Wow.
No, they don't pull the thing out. They don't flip a switch. None of that.
That's
happens
right.
In the movie.
Well, that's just. That was the first time I'd seen meanings.
It. No, it's good. I mean, it's canon now. But I mean, I wonder if it is. It'll be interesting to see if they call back to any of those sequences in Terminator 2 in Dark Fate. It'll be interesting.
Right.
To see.
I would suspect that there's some things. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be interesting. So, Tyler, what about you?
I actually don't know that I have too much to add, other than, you know, this is a movie that set the tone and the, I don't know, the precedence for so much that's going to come later. It echoes Blade Runner and things like that. But it's such a an early, you know, being 1991, it's such an early 90s action movie in mm-hmm. so many major ways. Those kind of things are echoed. The number of times that there's, even just the way they do car chases. I feel like The Matrix does that, or Matrix Reloaded does that. There's some just awesome.
The cinematography in this is amazing. But there's a moment when they get
clear and crisp and perfect.
When they're going down the highway and they're in the SWAT vehicle, and then the helicopter flies under the bypass, then it comes back up, and then the cameras follow. You're following all of this. Another helicopter over an aerial shot. It is just an unbelievable action. Like it reminds me of now the only filmmaker who's making movies like James Cameron right now is Christopher Nolan. Like, that's the only filmmaker that's doing this kind of
such high concept, so precise. Yeah, I completely agree.
It's crazy.
Well, and even down to just, you know, the way that even the aesthetic, or even just some of the stylistic things, like, you know, him, the Terminator on the motorcycle with his the rifle that he's shooting, that is the rotate. He just has to flip the gun and it cocks, you know.
Stylistically, like, that was amazing.
It's so good looking, you know. It's so well done. We have, it raises so many questions, like you just said, that we've talked about with Ex Machina, or with Blade Runner 2049, or The Matrix, or so many of these films that, you know, what does it mean? What does it mean to be human when we begin to lose our humanity? You know, how do we even distinguish ourselves between us and the robots?
And that is one of the big points in the movie that was in the original cut.
Yeah.
is Sarah being, you know, going to kill Miles Dyson.
Yeah.
Right.
And realizing that he was innocent. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, realizing that even though
he's not sinister in his motives.
Right. Even though he is the, forgive the pun, the genesis of Skynet, of the thing that will eventually destroy humanity, she realizes he's still just a guy, just a dad, just a man, you know, trying to do good.
Yeah, he's not Adolf Hitler or Stalin or any of those other figures of history. He's a good guy. And who sacrifices genuinely, himself.
Genuinely good guy. Not even just like a, you know, kind of whatever, chaotic, neutral, or just, you know, neutral.
But he's redeemed by his actions later. Yeah.
None of that. He's just genuinely a nice guy.
Because
you know?
A man like that can't have a huge ego in place if he's going to have Sarah Connor try to kill him and then somehow be able to be completely turned around and still be in the room with her and Arnold and go, yeah, I can't do this. Like,
that is one of, it's still one of my favorite. I mean, I know it's a leap of logic and it makes no sense if you're trying to say, well, this movie's not realistic. No crap. But like, one of my favorite moments in this is when, you know, Arnold, you know, starts to cut into his arm.
Yes.
You know, the way the camera angle is shot and the wife is freaking out like, ah! And he's like, oh, God, oh, and he pulls it off.
Like
and then
glove.
Sees the hand.
There's a moment of recognition for Miles. The acting, the camera, the placement, everything is perfect. The wife is still freaking out. She has no idea what she's seeing. It's the craziest thing ever. And then Dyson's like,
I get it. He's got the hand in the vault.
It's after the hand.
From the first one.
It's the visual storytelling that I think is so excellent. James Cameron knows exactly how to do.
Absolutely. Well, and we've got even the ties. I think Kate, you made the connection to with all the fate discussions to Greek tragedy. You know, we've got like the hallmark of Greek tragedy and its relationship with fate is that no matter what you do, fate will still happen. It is actually the no fate but what you make of it is actually also. If we're looking at the franchise as a whole, if we're pulling back from the movie, from this one movie, that's actually not true, right? Like, no matter, Judgment Day will still come. You know, Terminator 3, we see Judgment Day. We witness it at the very end of Terminator 3. Terminator Salvation is after Judgment Day. We're in post-apocalyptic LA. Terminator Genesis, it's earlier, it's a midquel, I guess. It's set. I forget now.
Genesis is a complete retcon. It's own universe. None of it works.
They all are. I'll take all of them, and it's fine. Like there's
no. Terminator 1 and Terminator 2 tell one.
Oh, of course.
Story.
But they're all branching off. Like when you start having, it's like this is not Back to the Future where we have loops, right? Where we can fix the time loop that's happening here, and like you can the picture can get itself restored. You know, this is they're all branching off of, you know, from one to the next.
Well, I think honestly what they're doing is they're just kicking the can down the road is what's happening in these movies. And it'll be interesting to see what Dark Fate does to actually, because again, they're very hazy, Terminator 1 and Terminator 2, on what the actual rules are.
Right.
To be honest with you.
Because the more that you add, the more you have to add the rules.
To be honest with you, none of it matters. Right. That's why these two movies are so great, is because that kind of stuff, that argument's kind of much less interesting than what's actually going on in the actual film. And the sequels make it all about that because suddenly Sarah's not there.
Right.
And these movies are supposed to be about her. They're supposed to be about
that's
her.
That's what they moved over to John.
Yeah, it's what makes it work, because it's that very personal in close on them, and what you understand about them is what carries you through it.
Right.
I mean, becoming what you fear, that what could be more personal than that?
Right. I want to add one more thing about the Terminator 2, and then let's get into speculation. Or, you know, we can add any other thoughts about the franchise, and then speculation, I think, into Dark Fate.
Mm.
I kind of just want to also second what you guys have been saying about the special effects. This is 1991 computer animation.
It's insanity to me.
1991, 18 years ago. And this thing, like, yes, like if you're really staring at it closely, you can see the seams. Sure you can.
How long ago did you say it was?
1991.
No, but you,
18 years ago.
That's
like,
way longer than 18 years, my friend.
You're an English teacher, not a math
teacher. Oh, 28 years ago. Whoa. Guys, I was giving this too much credit. Or not enough credit. Yeah. Guys, English major, English teacher. Those are my students who might be listening to this. Please go to class, do your homework.
Even you can be an English teacher.
No, 28 years ago, you know, like I said, I remember seeing this on VHS and going like, what is this? What is even happening? Mm. We wouldn't see stuff like this. Like, for like the closest thing I can really think of that doesn't really even hold up as well is the beginning part of The Matrix, you know, when he's touching the mirror and he starts to turn into the silvery thing.
Jurassic Park, my friend. Jurassic Park. Any
Oh, no,
early...
I'm talking the specific type of
special
effect. Like yeah. But no, oh, well, but Jurassic Park 1990 is that 3 or 4? I always forget.
The abyss is what started this.
Also James Cameron, yep.
All right, James Cameron, the water monster in the abyss that comes up and then makes the same face as the woman, that technology is what allowed the T-1000 to actually, I mean, ILM
and what
was
year
the one.
Is the abyss?
89, I want to say. Mm-hmm. It was before that. I had a VHS tape on the visual effects of Terminator 89. 2.
Wow, I did not even put that together.
So I had a VHS when I was growing up. I've always wanted to be a film. When I was in fifth grade, I saw Jurassic Park. I wanted to become a filmmaker. I wanted to specifically work for ILM. Mm. I thought what they did on The Abyss, Jurassic Park, and Terminator 2 was just complete. It was magic. It is exactly what they say in their name, Industrial Light and Magic. It is incredible. And yes, the visual effects in this movie, while they are beginning to look dated, they're still really incredible. They're fascinating.
Only if you're like looking for the datedness in it. Like if you... I don't even think you have to forgive it that much, you know? Like I found myself watching it and going like, he's walking, like, how in 1991? I remember the computer I had in 1991.
Yes.
It was not like that. You couldn't do that. You know,
it's more just charming because there are moments they try to do a lot of stuff in camera still. You can tell that there are moments they can only afford so many digital effects. Mm-hmm. And so
even about blurring the seams a little bit, like her putting the foster mom, like putting the sword through the foster dad's head. I remember seeing her do it. Like, but you don't. Just see her arm extended.
Your brain fills
in. Yes.
The sound effect, though.
Exactly. Yep. So it's even the Jaws thing where they're counting on your brain to fill in what their animation could do.
What was funny to me is that like there's a moment there in the end of the movie where the T-1000 is liquid metal, where he's like a lot of, and there's a sequence when he and Arnold are fighting.
Yeah.
And when it's just Arnold and then T-1000 comes into the frame just barely, you can just tell it's a guy in a silver suit.
100%.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy to me because I never remember that before. But you can tell they had to cut corners somewhere. You can tell
some of
like
the practical effects when it gets blown apart and it's just this weird little like
amazing,
deformed thing.
Amazing.
That's fully practical.
The moment that my favorite visual effect in the entire film is when T-1000 gets frozen by liquid nitrogen and starts, his leg breaks off.
Yeah.
And his hand comes up and he looks at it. It's just.
Robert Patrick nails the role. Yeah, Patrick is so good.
So, Tyler, I have a math question for you real quick.
Oh, no.
What do you think John Connor's midichlorian count is?
We don't talk about those. Speaking of retconning, I don't believe that midichlorians, I don't know what you're talking about there.
All right, so moving on.
so briefly, what's your experience, as much as you can remember, what's your experience with the rest of the franchise?
How many of them
like
are there
it,
again?
Hate it. There's Rise of the Machines, Terminator 3, Terminator 4 is Salvation, and 5 is Genesis.
I don't remember 3. I thought Genesis was a nightmare.
You don't remember? Hang on, Terminator 3 was amazing.
Just fine,
it was amazing because there was the TX. It was a woman, and she could make her breasts bigger.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
Actually, that's true. That's true. She gets
pulled
over.
There's a sequence.
And,
I'm not joking, you, Kate.
I'm not saying you're joking. I'm saying, right, the guys would remember this.
No, I'm just saying you can tell when it was made. It's unbelievable to me that moment is in the...
Yes.
Like, she drives up. She's driving in L.A., and she looks up and sees a billboard of what a woman should be, And she's like, oh, that's what a woman looks like. And then her breasts grow a few sizes.
So, listeners, there's
in the movie.
Disgust on my face right now since you can't see the video.
If you couldn't hear it or just feel it through the
I honestly, I could not wait to talk about this on the podcast.
Well,
because like, I want to get Kate's response.
Now, apparently, I'm not going to rewatch that one. So, thanks
you
for that,
shouldn't.
Chris.
It's kind of garbage. It's kind of garbage.
Well, guys on the pod.
Yes, and the only reason that I like it is because her breasts get bigger. That you're right. That's the only
it's
reason.
It's one
I
of them.
For being honest yes. about that.
No. I genuinely like that one. I think I like all of them. Does that mean any of them finish my original thought? What?
Yeah.
None of them are near one and two. Of course not. But I will
that
say
that was
as
not
a,
what I was
a,
going to say, Tyler.
Let Kate finish. Let
off.
Kate finish, Tyler.
No, you're cutting
done.
Me off while I'm saying I like it.
No, none of
but
none
I
of
didn't
you finish.
Finish. Okay.
What?
Breasts.
Thanks for that, Chris.
Not a problem. Not a problem.
Maybe you put an explicit rating on this one.
Anyway, the final movie that came out I thought was better than Genesis. It had some good thematic moments in it that I liked with Arnold and humanity and what they were doing with that. So. That's what you miss when you cut me off, Tyler.
In Genesis?
No, the final movie. The last one that came out before. I thought Sylvie... Whatever the last one was.
Yeah, that's Genesis.
One before that I hated. Yeah. The last one was like, all right, this has got some moments.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, what about you?
Yeah. Here's the problem is...
Breasts.
Breasts. No. I like the concept in the series a lot. And I do think Terminator 3 has some interesting moments in it. Specifically the ending and the point it's trying to make in that it is, you really cannot, change the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ending of 3 is basically you thinking they had won when in reality, no, Judgment Day is inevitable and it's going to happen. And they, you know, everything blows up around them and they're in a bunker and they survive. And then John Connor is in the one place he needs to be in order to become the leader that he's, you know, destined
he's
to become.
To be,
yeah. So, I mean, that's interesting, but it does kind of hurt the overall theme of what Terminator 1 and 2 were all about, which is there's no fate.
Mm-hmm.
You can control your future. That is... It's kind of cool, but at the same time, it's kind of not great. Terminator Salvation tried, but it is boring.
Mm-hmm.
It's really boring, and it's not the movie that I wanted because John Connor isn't the leader. He's not the thing that he doesn't become that until the end. It's kind of like Batman Begins,
right.
But again, like he
Batman Begins is better than that.
No, but I mean, it's kind of Batman Begins if Batman Begins ended when. He got to Gotham before he becomes Batman. It's kind of like, okay, you just showed me all the horrible bits of him being tortured in prison. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's not the John Connor I want to see.
Yeah.
I want to see John Connor as the leader, the guy who does all the stuff. And then we get to see a little bit of that in Terminator Salvation, but then they make John Connor the bad guy in Terminator Salvation. And that is just dumb.
So I didn't even
that
remember that.
Just,
I'd already blocked it out.
Dumb. It is really dumb. It could have been a cool like left turn, but they did it poorly. They really did. And so
bring back Linda
Genesis.
Hamilton.
Yes, that is what was missing from all of these things. Now, the one thing that I really liked that has been Terminator in the last several years was the television series,
Sarah Connor Chronicles. Yeah.
which was actually genuinely great.
Good.
And it was about, like we were talking about, Kate, the mother-son relationship,
mm-hmm.
and her struggling with what should she do, how should she do it, how much should she prepare John, how much should she protect him,
yeah.
how much should she let him just go and do his thing, how can I genuinely think it could have been almost Whedon-esque. You know, very similar.
It had a
Buffy.
Lot of flavors of weed in it too.
Yeah. And so I really enjoyed that series. It wasn't great,
mm-hmm.
but it was fun to watch. It was much better than the other three films,
mm-hmm.
In the series.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts. Tyler.
Yeah. I, yeah, again, I like Rise of the Machines. I think it's a good movie overall, mainly for the scene in the car where, you know, where she augments herself. You know, that's primarily what I liked about it.
I agree.
That's the only reason to watch the movie, really. You know,
that explains so much.
Yeah. Actually, Claire Danes is in that one. Nick Stahl. It's a good follow up to Rise of the Machines, except they shouldn't have killed Sarah Connor. And it's
you talking about a good follow up to Judgment Day?
Oh, yeah, to Judgment Day. Yeah, sorry,
dude. Are you serious? Okay, hang on a second. You think Terminator 3 is a good follow up to Terminator 2?
Thematically ruins everything.
No, I'd say it doesn't, because Judgment Day thematically ruins what Terminator 1 is going to do.
No, it builds
if we're really being strict about that, if you're saying what 3, 4, and 5, that they ruin it with all that other stuff, Terminator 2 says that Terminator 1 doesn't work, that it didn't work. Like, she couldn't stave off the inevitable, and so they had to go back and fix it again. And so that's why I'm fine with it. I'm looking at it as a whole picture of the franchise, and I think thematically, 3 follows.
Hard disagree.
Okay. I mean, we can sit here and talk about like timeline stuff. I don't mean that. I mean more like. Like what the series is trying to say, the themes, the actual story, the characters, the actual like the stuff, and not just the action or just the quote unquote like story, more like you think Terminator 3 is a good sequel to Terminator 2? I just want to make sure I need to hear you say it again.
I think that John Connor is it's. It really is. What happens after Judgment Day? This guy is really trying. He's aimless. He has one job. He has one job in his life. And it asks that question. He has one job in his life, and it's live past the apocalypse. Like, that's it. That's the only job that he has, is to live past the apocalypse. And it shows the toll that can take. I agree that the relationship between the Terminator and John Connor, which is by far the best part of Judgment Day, is lost, and they're trying to rekindle that a little bit in Terminator 3 when the Terminator comes back. But I genuinely enjoyed it. I think Claire Danes does a great job. It is nowhere near as good as the first two. Don't take that wrong. It's just I enjoy it for what it is. It's out there. We can't just be like, nope, I won't watch it. Doesn't exist. Like,
yeah, we
it's
can.
There, and I enjoy it.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that you're telling me you think it's a good sequel to Terminator 2, which is the best sequel of all time.
Yeah.
Don't argue with me on that. It's the best sequel of all time.
Of course, it's the best sequel of all time. It's better than Empire. Yeah.
Well, yes. Oh yeah. So, but like I enjoy Empire Strikes Back. It's fine. Yeah. It's great. But it's not better than Terminator 2, people. Come at me. At me. Don't really do that. Don't really.
Chris Farrell on Twitter.
At Chris Farrell on Twitter. I just find that fascinating that you think it's even in the same pantheon. For me, like, Terminator 2.
We can't say, nope, doesn't exist. It does.
No,
exist.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. But well, actually, I am. You're right. Because Dark Fate says it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
And I'm happy
Thank
about
you.
That.
No.
And I say that doesn't matter.
We win.
And I say I think, and as much as I love the Halloween franchise, good and bad, there are some low points to that franchise. For them to just be like, nope, all of these movies for the last 20 years doesn't exist. Like that kind of stuff is annoying to me. That's annoying. That's just it's like. Especially in it's annoying to me more than anywhere else, and that's frankly a sign of the toxic fandom of our time, which is like, nope, only the things that I enjoy are the things that exist. I will forget that they do.
Tyler, fandom?
Hasta la vista, baby.
Please.
Hang on though. But toxic fandom. This is not toxic fandom.
It can go in that direction, but it is not, just that.
But these are filmmakers. James Cameron coming back and after he's poo-pooed the last few and just going like, nope, my turn, and like, it's fine, like, make your movie. I think it's fine, but just to go, nope, they don't exist, I think is
but Star but Wars did that with the whole legacy canon.
Yeah, and I'm pissed at that one too.
Okay.
But hang on just a second. I mean, I don't mean to like completely derail this conversation.
Too late.
But what you're saying leads more to toxic fandom.
Yeah. Why?
Than what the filmmaker who owns the property.
I accept what they gave us. That's not toxic fandom. Toxic fandom.
Guys.
No.
Guys.
No, breasts.
Okay.
But I'll win this argument.
Also say,
I'm done.
And I genuinely hope that Dark Fate's going to be really good. And that's, so this will lead to my next question, and I'll bring us back in a second.
Kate wants to say something. What's Kate going to say? I want to hear what Kate's going to say.
Oh,
Kate.
My gosh.
I want Tyler to bring it back on track. That's what I'm after.
I'm trying now.
Okay.
So I genuinely hope that Dark Fate's going to be good. It looks good. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm psyched that James Cameron is back for it. I'm psyched that Lyndon Hamilton is back. I think that's fantastic, too. But I can't. It's just distracting me. I thought the same thing for Salvation, for Genesis and things like that. And they have major problems. And so, like, all that to say, if it isn't, then it's just another – it's another one of the filmmakers who, of course, it's his property. He can do what he wants. But it's another one of the filmmakers going, nope, I do it better than everybody else, and everybody else sucks. And then if he makes a crappy movie, then it is what it is. Like, I feel like take what they give to us, accept it on its own terms, and enjoy it or not. Like, it. But just saying it doesn't exist, I think, is – I don't know. That's a little nana-nana-boo-boo. Sort of a thing for me.
I'm comfortable.
So all that to say, what are we hoping for? Like, so what of Rise of the Machines, Salvation, Genesis? Like, what are we hoping that this one does that those ones didn't? Other than Linda Hamilton, give me something more than because an actress is in it again.
Because she could be written, more offensive,
no,
Tyler.
Because she could be written garbagely. No, all we've said so far is Linda Hamilton in Dark Fate. She could be written terribly, and then we've destroyed the character. So what are we excited about with Dark Fate?
Yeah, she could be written terribly, but her presence signals that they might actually are getting, you know, they might be actually getting back on theme for what worked in the original too. It may not turn out to be that way. We don't know. But thematically, if it means they understand what they're doing again, it's a good sign.
And so what does that mean? What does that look like? What are we missing? What did we miss from the last few that this one needs to have?
So, Linda Hamilton. Sorry, I couldn't resist. So I think the Terminator is at its best when it understands the relationship of technology to humanity and what it's trying to say in a bigger picture. It doesn't just have great action sequences. It has action sequences that have ramifications to the relationships in the story that are really meaningful for us. Because otherwise, who would care about Arnold being lowered into a vat of, you know, hot metal or whatever? It understands that there are consequences to the decisions we make, and those consequences change us in some meaningful way. And it doesn't just mean that all the females get ripped for the next movie. It's more to it than that, you know, dealing with PTSD and other aspects. There's the psychological through line that works, that is connected to the core and isn't just, all right, this person's got a problem, so let's follow them over here while they have their breakdown. Chris, help me out here.
I mean, honestly, I'm interested to see what Tyler thinks, because I know he's excited about this movie.
I'm pumped about it. I'm really excited.
So tell us what are you excited to see about A Dark Fate? Like, that's what I want to know. I mean, I agree with everything that you said, Kate. I think that's key and important. I've got a couple of things that I do want to mention, but I want to know, like, what are you excited about, Tyler? Where are you at?
Breasts.
I'm really... Yeah, that's, I mean, we, Linda Hamilton's back, so we know. I'm really excited about, or I'm hoping for that relationship between, that seems to be in the trailers, between Protector Terminator and Charge. We don't really know fully why, and I'm forgetting her name right now.
Mackenzie Davis.
Yeah. Why she's back. You know, she seems to be protecting, I don't know the character's name, but protecting a girl in some fashion. And Linda Hamilton is also there. So do we have a new John Connor character, you know, that stand-in, essentially, you know, she's a member of the Resistance. That's sort of what Terminator 3 was doing. They were, a Terminator was back eliminating members of the Resistance. You know, or is it about Sarah Connor? She doesn't seem to be the focus of it as much as she's alongside Mackenzie Davis as a fighter. So I'm super excited to see that relationship dynamic of her taking charge and leading the charge and essentially doing what they tried to do with John Connor in
so she's in the
Salvation.
Generational handoff, if it works,
yeah,
for future.
If it does.
Yeah, if it works. Okay.
That's a bit of it, because that's what Salvation was missing. Salvation gave us some awesome action set pieces, but didn't give us a character. We just didn't have character. Mm. There's nobody we latched onto. Some really cool moments in it, but it's too long and not enough character.
You know, it's an interesting thought, because there's father figures and mother figures exist in the first two, and so it would be a very powerful mother figure choice potentially for, I mean, sort of in the way with I'm not going to go back into Star Wars, never mind. Linda Hamilton being back, that could be a way to pass the torch on to Mackenzie, and if her character is dealing with what it means to be who and what she is, it'll be interesting to see if they take that somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough spoiler, and I really tried to live the trailer free life, you know, and so the few things that I've seen really are just the road sequence where there's a car chase and you know, we've got the battle between her and this new, whatever the new version of the Terminator is. So you know, I'm excited about a lot of those kind of flashbacks, but what I really hope they do is push things forward. I hope that we get something that's substantive, that's not, frankly, I think it's easy if it is just like, well, you know, all that thing, that stuff, you know, that we thought was going to happen and we saw happen didn't happen anymore. And I know that, like, the point is that they're rebooting it or they're resetting it after Terminator 2. But I want us to get pushed forward, you know, character-wise. I want to see, what has Linda Hamilton been, you know, Sarah Connor, what has she been doing? Where is John, frankly? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a major question. Did John die? You know, do we know? Maybe we do know, and I just haven't seen in the trailers because I'm trying not to.
He's a giant pickle.
He might be a giant pickle. You know, we see
a pickle
him,
Rick!
We see the little bit of a return of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Is he just a token person in it? I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I want to respond to what you just said so badly, but sure. I'm afraid it might be a spoiler, so I'm not going to.
Well, give us,
if you go to IMDb and take a look at the cast list of who is in this movie, and it will answer the question you asked about John Connor.
Oh, is what's his face?
I'm just going to say Edward Furlong may or may not
is
be
Edward
in this
Furlong
movie.
Is Edward Furlong back in Eddie Furlong? Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay. So, no, here's what I want from Dark Fate. Honestly, this is all I want. Here's what all I want. All I want is some heart. Yeah. I really want this movie to be about something. I want to care about the characters. I know nothing about what I would call the Sarah Connor character in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about Sarah Connor. I'm talking about the new, I think her name is Dani Ramos, right? Yes. Is the new kind of girl in distress, right? That's who everybody's trying to get to. We know nothing about her, nothing about why the Terminators want to protect her, kill her, fight a battle with her.
Right.
All I want is to care about her.
Mm.
If they can do that, that's what this movie is going to be awesome about. Now, I understand this idea that, like, you know, timelines and. For me, you know, I'm a comic book reader. Comic books do this all the time, where they'll go through a line and then we're going to be done with that, or we're actually going to go back to that moment and we're going to, because we like that moment and we're going to build on that. And that's all that's happening here is that, you know, you still can watch Terminator 3, Salvation, and Genesis if you want to, but this movie is going to pretend like those don't exist, like, in our fan world, they never happen to the characters in Dark Fate.
Right.
And so for me, that's interesting. It's the same way that Halloween I thought was brilliant because we all are familiar with Terminator 2. Let's be honest, nothing is as good as that. And so if you try and like build on what Genesis did, it's like the law of diminishing returns, mm-hmm. right? So if Terminator 2 was great, Terminator 3 was, you know, not really great. It was, if you want to say it was good, fine. You say it's good. Salvation was less good. And then Genesis was kind of like kind of hobbled together. And
I
maybe...
genuinely enjoy Genesis. I really do.
Okay. I mean, you can, but I'm just saying like, would you rather, I mean, if you had your druthers as a filmmaker, would you rather build on Genesis?
Yes.
Or Terminator 2?
Yeah, yeah.
The answer is Terminator 2. Well, it just is. That's what people are familiar with. People didn't see Genesis. They saw Terminator 2.
Right. Well, maybe that's the thing that I'm bumping on with it's almost, if we're going back to our Greek problem, it's almost hubristic, right? To just be like, well, you know, these other ones are bad. We're going to follow
just let that go.
The best one.
Tyler, stop it. Let that go, Tyler. Move on.
It just, I don't know. I it's whatever. But
you think it's not a good idea to go back to what?
I think it's fine. It's just it's hubristic to go like, okay, Terminator 3 was supposed to be the first of a trilogy. Terminator Salvation was supposed to be the first of a trilogy. Genesis was supposed to be first of a trilogy.
But nobody saw those movies. Nobody saw those movies. Nobody cares.
Right.
Like, right. Kate's saying, no one freaking cares what happened at the end of Genesis. No one. Dude, if you ask people what happens at the end of Genesis, will more people know what happens at the end of Genesis or more people know what happens at the end of Terminator 2?
Well, it depends if it's more people theatrical version or the special edition.
Yeah. No, but what I mean is what happens, yeah. I guess. That's sort of,
more,
give me a synopsis
saying,
of T2.
I'm not even going timeline stuff, actually. I'm really not. I'm actually going, are they setting themselves up too high? That's, I guess, my problem is
if the movie
is
doesn't
saying,
suck, I don't care.
Okay.
That's a good point. If it's a well-made film, it doesn't matter where it starts or ends. As long as I care about the characters, I have genuine like hope that they do well, and then I want to follow them and I want to spend more time with them, then it will be a great movie. Yeah. That's all I'm looking for. That's genuinely, I don't care about timeline, what they get rid of, what they add, what they say, any of that stuff.
Yeah, that's all preference stuff. It's more of, are they just setting themselves up, but that's fine.
Doesn't matter.
Okay,
we can decide.
Nothing matters.
We can decide after the new movie comes out. We can talk about how we felt about it. Like,
yes,
we'll hash that then. But right now, we have nothing to go on. So
That's all I'm looking forward to. Yeah. We can't decide anything else. It's true. Awesome. Anything else we want to talk about as far as Terminator goes, guys? I mean, I feel like we've talked a lot about this. We're almost a little over an hour. So yeah. Let's wrap it up.
Alrighty.
Who would like to wrap it up?
All right.
It's Kate, right?
I'll go for it. So you can find us at Geek Card Check on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until next time, the future is not set.